Network, Eric Harley, Gary McNamara, and retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol. He is here. Get on board for Ask the Law, brought to you as a service of Old Blue USA. AskTheLaw.org is the website. You can go there anytime and ask your questions. If you've got a question for Trooper Dial about hours of service or maybe CSA 2010 or any regulatory item, we want to hear from you at 800-288-9227. It is Ask the Law for Monday, December 7th, 2009. All the answers and information you get are up to date as of today. Can change without notice. We want to let you know that all the comments made here on the program this morning are considered to be, all those, with the exception of Trooper Dial, are considered to be opinions only. And Gary, how about them Cowboys? Huh?
Well, let's check the sports here. Let me see. Cowboys lost in the BCS. You're going to have Texas, I think, federal representatives here because of a TCU calling for the government to look into and Congress to look into the BCS matchup. Because TCU now doesn't really have a chance of winning the national championship, or neither does Boise State after going undefeated, because TCU will play Boise State. Both are undefeated, so neither will get a chance at the national championship. And the score so far, Tiger 6. Okay.
It's 6. Six women, right? He's up to six
now.
Women
up to
now.
Six.
Now, we knew this. You and I don't know if we talked about it on the air, but you and I knew that there were more out there that we had seen that. We're not a tabloid show. We can be if we wanted to be. But there was a lot of information saying, a lot of rumors out there saying there were more women. And I saw that over the weekend, on Sunday afternoon, in fact, that they believe that it's many more than six.
Yeah, I saw.
They believe it's in double digits.
Is double digits?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, they believe that it could be a dozen or more women. Essentially, he's every town that he stopped in, I guess, is what they're going to look at. I don't know.
Oh, by the way, and I heard the funniest thing on Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. David Pena told me I missed it. Was Seth Meyer doing the headline news?
Yeah.
And he talked about the Obama ecstasy.
Yeah.
Now, you know, he is as liberal as he is.
Yeah.
But he talked about the Obama ecstasy that's out there in the streets of South Texas, and said it gets you high, but then lets you down very, very slow.
That's a good joke. All right, welcome, Trooper Dial. How are you?
I'm doing great, y'all.
Happy December.
Yes, it is.
We had a pre-show meeting, a very important pre-show meeting. We were talking pickups, and then Gary walked in, and we kept talking pickups, I think. but we've been having great, because I got my early Christmas present over the weekend.
Congratulations. I got
a Chevy truck. It's not a new one. It's an 04, 40,000 miles on it. It's like new on the inside. It's a great used truck. It is flawless.
This is big news. I did not have a clue on Friday this was coming.
Yeah. No, I didn't have a clue on Friday.
Okay, all right.
But my daughter's car was, I have two daughters in college right now and a son in college. But one of my daughters is going to move to the campus, and her car is kind of going south. She's been driving mom and dad's old car, and it's going south. And I said, you know, if I'm going to do this, let's at least kind of upgrade me a little bit. You know, I deserve a little bit, don't I? So I got a Chevy truck over the weekend. Something I've been wanting for a long, long time. Very happy with it for now. And then I'll make a list and turn that into the dealership later. all right, let's talk about hours of service. A couple of things came down over the wire over the past couple of days. If you have a question, by the way, for Trooper Dial, 800-288-9227, something concerning hours of service, this is the time to get in. It's absolutely free of charge, 800-288-9227, or any regulatory item. Maybe you have a question about how CSA 2010 is going to work. We'll get you any information we can. This from thetrucker.com. This story came out just the other day, late on Thursday. The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration announced that the agency's Motor Carrier Safety Advisory Committee will hold a committee meeting. It's a conference call meeting later today, Monday, December 7th, to talk about, essentially, this will be the beginning of the reviewing of the hours of service. Do you know any more about this situation?
From what I understand in reading, I actually went and pulled up the Federal Register's notice that they put in there.
Right.
And this is one of the preliminary hearings that they have set up to where they are bringing in representatives from the transportation, the actual trucking companies.
Right.
They will have representatives from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, and it's, I kind of call it a sounding board. They get to go in there and talk a little bit about whether or not the current rules are effective, what needs to be changed, and this is kind of a precursor to FMCSA publishing the notice of proposed rulemaking.
Right. Okay, this is and this is kind of what I gathered from the story, in that it's essentially they haven't had an official meeting to even start the discussions.
No.
Basically, it will kind of be gathering of the minds here.
Yes.
And so we'll look to get more information out of this. You can bet going into, you know, the first week of December, we'll, you know, likely get nothing out of this meeting right away. But heading into January and February, I would expect that some kind of information would come out where they move, you know, even further on hours.
Right, because part of the deal that was struck with all the safety groups was that within a certain time frame,
mm-hmm.
They would actually bring a notice of proposed rulemaking forward, and so I kind of lean that this is the one in the many steps that FMCSA is going to take to issue a notice of a proposed rulemaking.
Yeah, okay. 800-288-9227. If you've got a question for Trooper Dial, we'll talk more about hours of service, CSA 2010, and more coming up. If you've got a question about hours of service or any other regulatory item, we want to hear from you. Also, CSA 2010, I know, drivers, you've been hearing a lot about it, and I still have a lot of questions. I'm certain that you do, too. So get in, and we'll get you whatever information we can. That's the latest here on the program at 800-288-9227. Let's go straight to the phones now.
We go to Matt. Matt, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on with Trooper Dial. Welcome. Hi.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Great.
Well, I just want – I showed my boss – I work for a small company out of Austin. I showed my boss the CSA 2010 on their website, and all the other drivers that I've talked to out here on the road that have seen it, nobody thinks it's going to be put into effect. They all think it's hogwash. I mean, do you really think most of it's going to be put into effect, or they can put pieces into effect? Or
December of 2010 is when it's going into effect.
Yeah, we got 1 year, and it's, we have no reason to believe, Trooper Dial, that this will be kind of pieced together.
No.
Here. This initiative will go in planned, just as we're hearing, just as we're reading it at the FMCSA's website.
Yes.
And everything else.
Yes, they've had a test model going on with four states, and the information that they are getting back from the four states that are participating in the pilot program, it's going to be a go.
Yeah,
I just wonder where that driver, and too bad we lost him, where they're getting this opinion that this isn't going to come to fruition. I don't have any indication of that either.
Because it's different than a proposed rulemaking.
Yes.
This initiative, in the way that it was presented, announced, and it's being initiated, is different than a proposed rulemaking.
Right.
Under a proposed rulemaking, there's a certain number of steps that they have to go through at the FMCSA. As with any government office, they have to go in. Again, there's a proposed rulemaking, and then there's a public comment period and everything else. And so I think a lot of people may be getting that, that may become a common misconception here.
Yes.
That it's not going to be put into effect. And
right.
I think we have to be careful of that.
Well, I think initially when CSA 2010 came out several years ago, FMCSA initially had looked at a June or July date as to when they were going to kick it off.
Right.
But there were some things that were required of FMCSA that they did not get initiated in a timely manner.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them had to do with this new driver pre-screening process, and which is going to be a vital portion of CSA 2010.
Now, that part is actually being rolled out this month.
Right.
Right?
Right. It's being rolled out this month, but what has to happen is, because CSA 2010 is going to be looking at a three-year history, well, you just can't automatically jump in and have that three-year history there when CSA 2010 is rolled out. So what they had to do was they had to jump through some hoops, make some things happen so that they could get this driver pre-screening out and working.
Right.
So December this year, towards the end of this month, the driver pre-screening comes in effect. Now then, it will start capturing the data, because all of CSA 2010 is going to have a three-year history with it.
Yeah.
And so they had to get the pre-screening going, and with it being done this month, then we go to 2010 in December. Now then, the entire CSA 2010 rolls out.
And so, again, I think it's important to keep in mind here that no reason to believe that any part of the CSA 2010 is not going to be implemented.
No, it's going to be put in place just like it's on the website.
Yeah, yeah. The website, very simple, by the way, CSA2010, CSA2010.com. If you want to go there, you can do that. If you want to get in touch with us, 800-288-9227. Also, don't forget, you can go to askthelaw.org and email your questions anytime. While we won't get to those questions through the website on this program, what they'll do there at Old Blue USA is they'll get those questions as soon as they can answered for you and then get back to you. Make sure you tell them you heard it here on the Midnight Radio Network. All you have to do is click on the big red button that says email Ask the Law. Again, their website, askthelaw.org. Also, this time of year, I know that we think about giving to organizations, think about giving to charity. And I'm saying this, I was not asked to say this by anyone with Old Blue USA, but I say this out of the, something that I've known for quite some time is that, like any nonprofit organization, they struggle to get donations. They count on big sponsors to come through, but in a year like this year, they don't always get that type of response. So if there's, you know, something you can do, if you want to write them a check for $5 or $10, Old Blue USA, they would love to have that, because they're responsible for bringing drivers this information free of charge. They don't ask a dime for it, and I know that R.J. Taylor would love to have any donations that you can afford, any time you can. Contact them, again, askthelaw.org, and I'm sure they would love to hear from you, get your questions, and if you can make a donation, then great. And if not, we do understand. We'll get back to Ask the Law here in just a moment. Stand by.
It's the Midnight Radio Network.
Back to Ask the Law next, 800-288-9227.
It's a Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Could you guys pay attention here to the show? Get back here. Quit the discussion.
I'm glad the band was ready because Trooper Dial and I were looking up. It's a new chart. What you gave me is a chart, and let's look at the information on this chart. And basically, these violations that these drivers received. And I'm assuming this is not a mock chart. These are actual violations.
Those are the actual violations.
All right. And they have a violation severity weight, W-E-I-G-H-T. In other words, each of these violations is weighted in its severity. One being the least severe.
Right.
10 being the most.
Yes.
And on this first page alone, one driver cited for reckless driving.
Mm-hmm.
This is all part of CSA 2010.
Correct.
And the severity rating was 10.
Yes.
Now, how is that going to affect that driver when they look at that? Are those points, this severity weight, are
well,
these points going to be added up? Or?
Yes, it's where I got into looking at this was I had heard, and in fact, I even had an email sent to ASILAW dealing with drivers being assessed points.
Right.
And I'm trying to figure out, nothing in CSA 2010 says anything about a driver being assessed points.
Right.
Well, got in there, got to doing a little research. Well, come to find out, FMCSA went through there, and in the seven basic categories, what they have done is they have assigned a value to certain violations based upon the probability that a driver is going to be involved in a crash. So what they've done is the one example that you used, the reckless driving, has a value, a time weighted value of 10.
Right.
Because in all probability, if a driver was stopped and a violation showed up on the roadside inspection for reckless driving,
right,
had this driver continued to operate in the manner in which he was operating the vehicle, which was why he was really stopped,
right,
that it could have resulted in a crash.
Right. Okay, we're going to talk more about this in just a few minutes. Also, Ron, Alan Moore, stand by, Ask the Law. We're going to get to your questions next. Weather along the highways coming up in just a few. Stand by.
800-288-9227. It's a Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial as our guest, as always. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
It is Ask the Law for December 7, 2009, and all the information is up to date, can change without notice. It's brought to you by Old Blue USA. We want to thank R.J. Taylor and the staff there at Old Blue USA for making this a great. They provide this as a public service, and we cannot thank them enough. Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol, is here. The information, again, and answers are up to date as of today. Can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered opinions only. You can always get your CMV questions answered at askthelaw.org. Click on the big red button that says email Ask the Law. Let's get to the phones at 800-288-9227.
And let's talk to Ron in Oklahoma. Ron, you're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi, Ron.
Yeah, I've been driving 21 years. I got 3 million miles accident-free.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'd like to know what he thinks about the onboard computers. Is that coming down the road?
Electronic onboard recorders, I suspect we'll see those. In fact, I predict we will. Your prediction?
Yes, they will be here sometime. We don't know when.
Yeah. Is it possible, I guess it is possible, that we could see this as a rollout of any new hours of service rule that comes about?
Yes.
Is that a common, is there plenty of people out there that suspect that that may be the case?
I think so. In reading some of the blogs, news articles based on trucking companies, I'm seeing a lot more of them going to EOBRs.
Right, right. Ron, let me ask you, is it your thoughts with your experience, your great driving record, what are your thoughts on EOBRs?
Well, I think it's the only way to enforce it.
Yeah. There's a lot of drivers
that way to have a level playing field.
There's a lot of drivers that feel that way. And I got to tell you, first of all, it doesn't apply to me because I don't drive for a living. But my thought on this, and this is just the simple math here, Ron, is that you have electronic onboard recorders. You're not going to have shippers, receivers, or companies that are going to be able to push you beyond the legal limits. And,
exactly.
And that tells me that everybody out there is running the same amount of time per day. The miles may vary, but you got the same time that the next guy does in order to get it there. And if you're running legal and he's running legal, you know, just by default, things will start to even out. Also, I think it gives us, Ron, a greater perspective on how valuable each driver is. Because if you got a lot of drivers out there that are running hot, running off the books, then we really don't know what their value is, because they're putting in a lot more, a lot more than what they're getting paid for.
Well, I'm surprised they haven't already done it.
Yeah.
If they're really serious about this, I'm surprised they haven't already done it.
Yeah. I suspect, Ron, that we will see it. I don't know. There's a lot of – I have heard, too, as Trooper Dial said, I've heard, others say – editors and other friends of mine in the industry say that they suspect that it's possible that they could try and initiate this as a part of the new hours or in conjunction with the new hours of service rule if a new hours of service rule is issued, and I suspect that that will happen as well.
Well, John Hill, the forum administrator, tried a method by requiring trucking companies that had gone through two compliance reviews,
that each
time they went through a compliance review, if they received an unsatisfactory rating in the hours of service factor, then it was mandatory.
Right.
But when the current administration took over, they stopped it and said that they were going to review it because it had not officially taken effect yet.
Right. Ron, thank you so much. We do appreciate your expertise, and congratulations on your 3+ million miles. That's terrific. We do appreciate those safe drivers out there. That's, I'm not, as a guy who is a conservative / libertarian, I'm not, and Gary and I have talked about this, I'm not for more government mandates. However, you look at the hours of service rule and the way it was designed for essentially humans to police themselves.
Yes.
Because it's not feasible to say that officers, as many great officers as we've had out there like you and others, all across the nation's highways that enforce these laws, there simply aren't enough.
Right.
We have how many, 3.5 million over-the-road drivers, and then, of course, plenty of non-over-the-road trucks that are out there that fall into the category as well.
Yes.
I had heard one time that there were somewhere in the area of 12 million CDL holders total in the United States or more. But you can bet it's as far as the number of trucks out there, it's millions and millions. It's not possible for these states, as limited as they are, to enforce these laws. So what do? You leave it up to the driver or the company, whoever owns that truck or has an agreement with that truck, to enforce that. And you mentioned that more and more trucks are kind of going the way of the electronic onboard recorder. We don't know what the mandate will be for EOBRs from the government and how they'll have to be implemented, what types of features those and data those EOBRs will have to contain and provide. We do suspect that they'll be GPS equipped and everything else.
I think
else.
That's pretty much what's going to happen is it'll have to be a system that will record the vehicle moving.
Yeah.
And a GPS system to tell where it's at.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's pretty much all FMCSA is looking for.
Because basically that's pretty much all you need.
Yeah.
You need to be able to, the driver needs to log in. You're going to have to be able to tell if that truck is moving. And then you're going to have to be able to see where that truck is. Let's get back to the phones. 800-288-9227 on Ask the Law.
Let's go to Al in Pennsylvania. Al, hi, you're on Ask the Law with Trooper Dial. Welcome. Hi.
Hey, good evening. How are you doing?
Good. Welcome.
Yeah. Hey, I was wondering, now I heard some guys talking about, and I haven't been keeping up on this stuff like I should, because I haul oversized modular home units and like that.
Right.
And I came off the road, and I run mainly in the Northeast here, Pennsylvania, New York, and like that. But in DOT checks now, if you're rolled up for something, that there's going to be like an accumulation of points where they can actually pull your driver's license. Is there any truth to that?
This is kind of something we were touching on, and this is very important and a very good question, Al. So let's see if we can answer this. All right. Now, you and I, before the bottom of the hour break, we were looking at some of these charts here and,
yes,
and some of the violations that are assessed.
Yes.
Essentially, Al, what happens here is there is a weight. There is a severity weighting for each violation. So
yes,
the least severe would only get a 1 point.
Correct.
And then the most severe which on that first page was reckless driving, gets 10 points. There are
yes.
there may be other 10-point violations. I don't know, but that's an example of at least one. And so what happens is each driver essentially is going to be weighted on the severity of each violation.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? You and I looked at, you showed me what a driver's report will look like
mm-hmm.
on this website. First question, and we've had this one several times over the last week alone, will that individual driver have access to his or her driver
yes.
record?
Yes.
Okay, they will have the access
yes.
to it. All right, so when you look at this, there is a percentile that shows, you know, how many, that's the percentile of violations over the last, 24-month period? Is that what that is?
Well, it'll be 0 to 12,
mm-hmm.
12 to 24, and 24 to 36.
Okay. So it will show what your percentile is of violations.
Right. What they've done is they break it down into the seven basic categories.
Right.
Unsafe driving, fatigue driving, driver fitness, controlled substance and alcohol, vehicle maintenance, improper loading, cargo securement, and then your crash indicators.
Right.
Each one of these has a value. It's not, they have to assign it a point value, and that's all it is. These are not points that are going to be actually placed upon your driver's license. The scores that you have in each one of these categories cannot get your CDL taken from you. The CDL points are points that the state themselves assign to violations.
Okay.
Most of those points are going to be assigned to moving violations.
Right.
But what will happen is, as an example, in the unsafe driving, which on the first page, reckless driving was a 10-point value
mm-hmm.
based upon time weighted as to whether or not it would cause a crash.
Right.
All of this goes into a calculation, and a driver, based upon the number of inspections that this driver has gone through, he will be ranked in either peer group 1, peer group 2, or peer group 3.
Okay.
He will be assigned a percentile based upon, let's go back and say, okay, we got a driver that's had more than 7 inspections, so mm-hmm. he's going to be in peer group 3. He will be categorized along with all the other drivers that have had 7-plus inspections.
Right.
So now then they start looking at, we've got, say, 100 drivers
mm-hmm.
that have 7-plus inspections. They will rank them from 0 to 100.
Right.
And any driver that has a percentile in the 97 range,
mm-hmm.
his box is going to show up yellow.
Okay.
If it goes over 98, it goes in red, which means now then FMCSA is fixing to step in and start making the driver participate in some type of intervention.
Okay. So that's essentially what it is it becomes kind of a red flag. It's these points will essentially lead to eventually the FMCSA assessing this driver.
Yes.
And then decide what needs to be happening. If it shows that this driver has a great number of these violations along the way, and they are the violations that are more likely or most likely to cause an accident,
yes.
they're going to say this driver needs to be off the road. We're going to intervene somehow.
Yes.
And the same with the carriers, by the way. We're going
yes.
to talk more about that. Stand by. Hopefully that made sense, Al. Essentially, it's not going to be a point system where you get to a certain number of points and all of a sudden your CDL's taken away. It will.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, what I was wondering, because I'm an owner-operator, but these units, the modular homes, multi-units that go in on a temporary carrier, they
yeah.
crane them off, and then you bring the carriers back to the factory and stuff.
Right.
And now, like out here in Pennsylvania, you know, it's like putting a bullseye on our back.
Right, yeah.
You know, for all these DOT checks, they come in and, you know, there's stuff on these carriers that you haul that the driver has, okay, they say it's driver's responsibility.
Right, right.
But that they're crawling under this house, and these units are supposed to be checked before we hook onto them, but if they... like, I got tore up bad in Connecticut with 9 out of services.
Right, right, yeah.
Because they took in, okay, there was a broken brake wire.
Right,
there
right.
There was a cracked leaf spring.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, stuff like that.
Well,
and,
well, I'll tell you, Al, we're out of time for this break. We're up against a hard break here, but we're going to come back in a few minutes, and then after the top of the hour. We're going to see if we can explain this to you, and stick with us. We thank you for the call. We'll be back with Ask the Law in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network.